GoGreenShuttles.com and the Pemberton Festival now have a direct shuttle service all weekend long from Vancouver right to the festival gates. GoGreenShuttles.com is your alternative to high fuel and parking costs, with return tickets just $70 when purchased from GoGreenShuttles.com/CITR. GoGreenShuttles.com. You do the partying, we'll get you there.
Can't be done, huh?
The switch?
The switch.
Can't be done.
I wonder.
Do you realize in the entire history of Western civilization, no one has successfully accomplished
the college radio DJ
switch? In the Middle Ages, you could get locked up for even suggesting it.
Between July 21st and July 27th, CITR 101.9 FM presents the first annual CITR Show Swap. The CITR Show Swap is when CITR programmers are given the opportunity to see how the other half lives and host each other's shows for a week. Between July 21st and July 27th, CITR's programming schedule will be turned upside down, and so will your frowns. It's kind of like Freaky Friday, but for CITR DJs. So be sure to tune in for what will undoubtedly be an interesting radio experience. That's the first annual CITR Show Swap between July 21st and July 27th, only on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
They sit on their balconies, watching your every move amidst the shadows cast by their geraniums. Their eyes hold the key to every question you've ever had about the neighborhood. What time does the mailman come in the morning? Who lives above me? When did the lady across the way get her hair color changed? Where's the landlord? Who am I talking about, you wander in confusion? I like to refer to them as, quote-unquote, the Watchers.
Otherwise known of as ORM, Older Retired Men.
I must admit, my grandfather was once a Watcher, and I distinctly remember going to his house and having him tell me all about the comings and goings of the neighbors. What they did at 9 a.m., what they did at 10 a.m., what they did at 11 a.m. But I never thought the roles would have been reversed upon me. Well, not until recently, that is. I have just realized that I, too, have a watcher. Which leads me to believe that everyone does, whether you know it or not. I moved into my apartment 3 years ago, and it was only this year that I find myself avoiding a run-in with my watcher. He lives on the first floor of my building, and through my methods of investigation and repeated observations, I have concluded that he is quite amicable with the landlord. From day one, I always knew the two were in cahoots. They were practically inseparable, talking about this or that thing. It made me nervous. The watcher must work for the landlord, I thought. His right-hand man and confidant. One day, the watcher went as far as to comment to my parents about the changing color of my hair. This was said after he had told them that I had left the apartment at precisely 4 p.m. and would not return until 6:30 p.m. that night. I have to give him credit for it. After all, it was a Monday and I did have class. But where's my privacy? Is my every move watched? What? What is the problem, you ask? Allow me to explain. Every spring, my roommate and I conduct a thorough cleaning of the apartment. You know, the usual. Cleaning the drapes, the bedrooms, the kitchen, and the fridge. Wherein lies the problem? I thought it would be a good idea to defreeze the freezer. And, well, in the process, accidentally broke the Freon valve of the new refrigerator our landlord had just installed. My roommate and I find ourselves in a predicament. Too afraid to ask the landlord for a new refrigerator, we have found a replacement, but must secure it into the apartment without the eyes of the watcher seeing. A hard task to complete. One that may even require a midnight operation.
Good day, Vancouver. You have tuned into Laugh Tracks here on CITR 101.9 on your FM dial and web/podcasting to all four corners of the world at CITR.ca. Now, we here at CITR are in the midst of our first annual show swap. What you, the listener, gets out of the show swap are new voices trying to figure out the shows you've been listening to all this time. We start this edition of Laugh Tracks off with part one of The Watcher, a little something made by Catherine O'Grady while she studied sound arts at Concordia University in Montreal back in 2005. And the rest of the story will come at you within the hour. But first, I always figured that we all need more obscure radio theater in our lives. In this day and age, when you can't get into a theater to watch the raw and gritty new Batman movie, people tend to forget, intentionally I'm sure, that Batman was once one of the campiest superheroes going. A few attempts were made to bring the character to radio, only one ever made it to air, and for one episode only. The Batman Mystery Club from 1950 was to be a club-themed radio show where Batman and Robin told stories of how they solved one ghost-themed mystery after another. 16 years before Adam West did the Bat-2C, Scott Douglas was the Dark-ish Knight on the Mutual Radio Network. What you're about to hear is the only episode anyone ever heard, The Monster of Dumfries Hall, here on Laugh Tracks on 101.9 FM, CITR.
By virtue of the authority vested in me, I do hereby call to order the 103rd meeting of the Batman Mystery Club. And now it is my privilege to introduce our friend Bruce Wayne, otherwise known as the Batman.
Thank you, Robin. Good evening, everybody. You've just heard Robin open the 103rd meeting of our mystery club. As you know, we gather together at this time each night to explore the supernatural and to tear aside the veil of darkness, to prove that ghosts and apparitions are only figments of man's imagination, to show that wherever there is mystery, it's been created by human hands. And so, with that thought in mind, I bid you all welcome to the Mystery Club. Since we have important matters to consider tonight, I move that we dispense with the reading of the minutes of the last meeting.
I second the motion, Batman.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Are there any questions from the floor? Yes, Richard.
I'm a little puzzled about something, Batman.
All right, let's see whether we can unpuzzle you. What is it, Richard?
Well, in our last mystery, you know, the one we finished Friday night, you told how the little man with the limp, I think his name was Mr. Willis.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he swore that he saw the ghost of his brother when he visited that medium, Madame Tafara. Well, he wasn't crazy, was he?
Oh, Mr. Willis was quite sane. As a matter of fact, he was convinced he had seen his brother's ghost.
Well, did he?
Of course not. Madame Zaffara, like most fakers, was very clever. Before setting up the seance for Mr. Willis, she managed somehow to secure a photograph of his dead brother. She had a plaster cast made, and using soft green lights, it almost looked like the real thing.
Gee whiz.
Yeah, but what about the ectoplasm, Mr. Willis? So wasn't that real?
Our ectoplasm doesn't exist, Richard. It's a word used by so-called psychic mediums as part of their phony mumbo-jumbo. It's supposed to be a ghostly emanation. In Mr. Willis's case, what he saw floating around the half-darkened room was a thin piece of white gauze suspended from a string. In his excited state, it looked like a ghostly emanation.
Oh, well, I think that clears it up. Thanks.
You're quite welcome, Richard. Now, if there are no further questions, we'll proceed to our story.
It's a new one tonight, isn't it, Batman?
Yes, Marilyn, a brand new one.
A ghost story?
Well, I suppose you'd call it that, Roger. It's about the monster of Dumfries Hall. All right, now, turn the lights low, Robin. That's better. Now, the story begins 3 years ago when Robin and I were in England. We'd been invited to dinner at Dumfries Hall, an old English country manor, the home of my friend Sir Alfred Dumfries. It was a wild and lonely night with a storm brewing. And the fact that Dumfries Hall was located in the center of a barren moor didn't help matters any. There were five of us at the dinner table. Sir Alfred, charming Lady Marsden, gruff old Sir Sidney Mordred, Robin, and myself. We had just finished dessert and were engaged in conversation.
More coffee, Mr. Wayne.
Thank you, no, Lady Marsden.
Well, you may pour me another cup, by Joe.
Of course, Sir Mordred.
Oh, beastly weather. A beastly hole to be having it in, I must say. Had I known the weather was going to be as rotten as this, I'd have stayed in London, I declare. How are you standing it, Wayne?
Oh, it isn't the weather I mind, Sir Mordred. It's the fact that it seems to make this old baronial mansion so chill and damp. A wood-burning fireplace is decorative, but I'd prefer steam radiators myself. You were about to say something, Sir Alfred?
I was about to say that Sir Mordred, since he has far more money than I, can have those improvements put in after he buys Dumfries Hall.
Buy Dumfries Hall? Oh, I said, you still expect me to buy this ruddy place, Alf?
You said you would if I proved it wasn't haunted.
Haunted? Gosh, is Dumfries Hall haunted, Sir Alfred?
Of course not, Robin. It's just that a silly legend has grown up about the place. A legend concerning a monster.
Now, look here, Alf, let's face facts, what? I need a country estate, and I'm willing to buy this place if you can assure me the death chamber is not haunted. And by Joe, you know there's only one way to prove that.
That's exactly how I plan to prove it.
Alfred, you don't really mean
it. I most certainly do, Lady Marsden.
Oh, but you can't. Anyone who spent even 5 minutes in that room after midnight...
Listen to me, all of you. There's not one of you at this table who is not aware of the fact that I'm a poor man. Yes, a poor man. Oh, I have lands, estates, but they cost me money. They don't make me money. I've got to sell this place, and Sir Mordred says he'll buy it if I can prove Dumfries Hall is not haunted. Well, I intend to prove it tonight.
Whatever?
Oh, nothing to alarm yourself about, Lady Marsden. There are wild dogs on the moor. Sometimes they bay and howl.
Yes, yes, of course. Silly of me to be so nervous.
Well, as I was saying, I shall enter the death chamber at midnight and remain there until morning. I shall prove that the legend has no foundation in fact.
If you don't mind telling me, Sir Alfred, what exactly is the legend of this death chamber? I have only the vaguest idea.
Of course I'll tell you, Bruce. There's a room in this house which has not been unlocked for over a century. No one has entered it in all that time. Why? Because the last three people who slept in it died under rather mysterious circumstances. They were found stiffened by death into, shall we say, unpleasant shape.
And you propose to enter that room tonight, alone?
I do.
If these people died, as you say
they did. I don't say they did. The legend says it. Oh, I don't deny people have died in that room, but I am convinced they died natural death. The rest is distorted, an old wives' tale. Have become more distorted with each telling.
But, Sir Alfred, what of the monster?
Oh, more of the same legend, Bruce. It's said that several of the people who died screamed out something about a monster. What exactly, no one ever knew. It is also said that a strange being has been seen prowling the corridors of Dumfries Hall. But, well, I don't believe a word of it. I shall prove tonight that the hall is not haunted.
By Jove, Elf, you prove it, and I'll buy Dumfries at your own figure.
I'll prove it. At midnight, I'll enter the so-called death chamber. We'll unlock the door together. I'll go in, and the rest of you can wait outside. And you may be sure I'll come out alive.
Well, at midnight, Sir Alfred.
Yes, I wish you'd stop standing there and staring at me some more. It is as though you were seeing me for the last time. Nothing's going to happen, I assure you. I'm merely going to explode a silly and stupid legend.
Oh, look here, Alf. I'll buy the blooming place now. You needn't prove it's not haunted. I'll either keep the death chamber locked or call in a firm of London chappies and have the ghosts exterminated.
That's rightly extorting of you, Sir Mordred, but I can't let you do it. Oh. Now, look here. Everything's ready, so don't try to stop me. Here's the death chamber before us. Here in my hand is the ancient key to it. By George, they made them large enough in those days, didn't they? Yes, and the wild dogs are supplying just the right ghostly atmosphere.
Oh, God, Sir Alfred, I am scared. I hate to see you going into that room alone like
that. Don't fret your young head about me, Robin.
Sir Alfred's quite right, Robin. Yeah, but... just trying to prove what we've been proving for a long time, that ghosts do not exist except in the imagination.
Yes, of course. Perfectly silly, that whole matter.
Oh, stop looking so glum, Mordred. This is a lark. I tell you what we'll do. I keep talking to you from inside the room. As long as you hear my voice, you'll know there's nothing wrong. And let's open the ruddy room. I'll just insert the key. So. Turn it. So. Turns easily enough, eh? Now then I'll just open the door. Now, if you'll just hand me that lighted candle... I'll go in.
Well, Fred, by Joe, are you sure?
Oh, come now, not another word, Mordred. Kendall, thanks. Well, here I go. Wish me luck.
Good luck, old boy. I don't know why, but I have a feeling I could use a stimulant.
Nonsense, Sir Mordred. Anyway, we must all of us stay here now.
Yes, and keep talking to Sir Alfred. Sir Alfred, everything all right?
Caught hold, Bruce. Rather a musty old place, to say the least. Hardly enough air in here to keep the candle burning. But quite safe. Don't worry.
Gee, sir, is he going to stay in there all night?
Oh, no, laddie. If he remains in there half an hour, it'll be enough. According to the legend, death always occurred between midnight and the half hour following. I say, Alf, quite comfortable, are you?
Oh, yes. Yes, quite. I'm enjoying it, as a matter of fact. Bring on your monsters.
It really sounds as if he is enjoying it.
Why shouldn't he? As he said, it's nothing but a lark.
Oh, that dog again. Every time it howls, my blood runs cold. By Joe, Elf, I'll drive aboard this place. The first thing I'm going to do is clear the moor of those blasted dogs. You care to take on the job yourself? You're a good shot. Elf. I say, Elf. Would you care to take on the job yourself?
Oh, he doesn't answer.
No. No, it can't be.
Just a moment. Sir Alfred, this is Bruce Wayne. Sir Alfred.
Not a sound.
Don't move anyone. I'm going in there.
No, Mr. Wayne, you mustn't.
Don't move, I said. Sir Alfred.
Mr. Wayne, what is it? What happened?
Stay where you are.
Mr. Wayne, tell me what's happened.
I can't tell you.
Please let me go to him. I must go to him.
No, you mustn't go to him. No one can enter that room. All right, Robin. Turn up the lights.
Oh. What happened in the death chamber, Batman?
I'm afraid we haven't time to go into that tonight, Jerry.
But what about poor Sir Alfred? Had he been killed by a monster or...
Listen, how many times does Batman have to tell you to run, Oakley?
Now, don't lose your temper, Robin. After all, Marilyn is a new member of the club. Be patient with her. All I can tell you, Marilyn, is this. No one else could have entered that room that night but Sir Alfred. There's only one door, and there were no windows. And yet, it certainly looked as if someone or something had slipped in.
But who?
Well, perhaps we'll find out at tomorrow's meeting of the Mystery Club. And now, since time is short, I'll accept a motion to adjourn.
Well, I move that we adjourn.
Second the motion.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Close the meeting, Robin.
By virtue of the authority vested in me, I do hereby adjourn the 103rd meeting of the Batman Mystery Club. The 104th meeting will take place tomorrow night at the same time over the same station.
If you have just tuned into this program, this is the second in a four-part series on older retired men. In this episode, Catherine and Jen are preparing to sneak a fridge into their apartment. Will they succeed? Well, you'll listen and find out.
Activated stars stuck in the darkness that is the sky.
Are you ready, Kat?
Yeah, you ready?
I guess so. I mean, it's only a refrigerator.
I know. I'm just so scared we're gonna get caught. It's gonna be okay, right? Everything will be fine.
Well, guys, I was talking to Mr. Norton, and he said that...
Mr. who?
Mr. Norton. You know, the guy that lives above us? Aw, come on. You know, the one that goes with his dog out for a walk in the park. He has that toupee thing, and... Aw, come on.
How
you must know one.
How do you know this stuff, Kat?
I don't know. I'm observant.
I've never seen our upstairs neighbors before.
Anyways, I was talking to Mr. Norton, and he said that the landlord sometimes comes. He comes around, and he does all the maintenance at night.
Well, I don't think he'd come this late. It's almost 12:30, and it'll be morning before we get this thing in the apartment if we continue like this.
Fine. I'm ready. Let's do it.
Good.
No, stop, wait!
Jesus Christ, Kat, what the hell's the matter now?
I think we should go through the checklist.
No, I'm not going to. It's bad enough that I have to sneak a giant fridge into our apartment. I refuse to do a checklist.
I have to tell you, I'd feel much better if we went through the checklist.
No!
Aw, come on, do it!
No.
Please?
No.
Please?
No.
Please?
No.
Please, 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 please.
No.
Please.
No,
please.
No, no, no.
Please?
No.
Please?
No.
Please? Please?
Did you hear me?
Please?
No.
Please?
Uh-uh.
Please?
Try again.
Please, 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 please,
no.
Please?
Fine. I'll do it, but make it quick.
Get. Blanket, rope. Tape, please.
Check, and check.
Scissors.
Check.
Dolly.
Check.
Walkie, talkie.
Check.
Do I have a blanket? I repeat, blanket. Over and out.
Check.
Sorry, okay. Gloves.
Check.
Chewing gum.
Check.
Bubble gum.
Okay, that's enough. Do you have to say the list through the walkie-talkie? I'm sitting right beside you.
Uh-huh. You'll thank me once we're inside. You never know what could happen. What if the landlord came and I was inaccessible? Who would you be needing in a situation like that, huh?
A walkie-talkie.
And what if you got locked out of that apartment by mistake? And since you don't have a cell phone, you had no way of contacting me? Who would you turn to for help?
The walkie-talkie.
And what if I were to go missing? You never know what can happen in St. Henry at night. Who would be there by your side helping you out to contact me, huh?
Walkie-talkie.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I rest my case.
You are definitely one of the craziest people I have ever met. Are you ready to start this whole thing?
I think I deserve an apology.
What?
You heard me. I want an apology.
If it'll get things going... I'm sorry.
For what?
That's it. I'm done playing this stupid game. We're wasting time. What do you want me to say?
I want you to tell me that the idea to bring a walkie-talkie was brilliant and that I am a star.
The idea to bring a walkie-talkie was brilliant. Oh, Catherine is a star.
Great. Now say it through the walkie-talkie.
No.
Do it.
The idea to bring a walkie-talkie was brilliant. Catherine is a stupid loser who needs to get a life.
Jen, that's not what I said.
Ow, that hurt.
Well, you're not playing my game. Are you ready?
I thought you'd never ask.
Will Catherine and Jen make it into the apartment without getting noticed? Or will their differences come in the way, ultimately getting them caught? Tune in next week for another edition of ORM, Older Retired Men.
And with part two of three of The Watcher, you are listening to Laugh Tracks, broadcasting from the hub of education, that is the University of British Columbia campus in Vancouver. This is CITR 101.9 FM. Now for some theatrical and comedic performances you can see in your face, you should definitely consider checking out the Underground Stand-Up Comedy Showcase. Mark Smith, the angry comic, hosts a monthly showcase of local stand-up comedians. On the fourth Tuesday of every month, 7 p.m. at the Cellar on 1006 Granville. Also, I could not go any further without mentioning that Monty Python's Spamalot is playing. Thank you to Boy at All-Star Productions presents a new musical lovingly ripped off from the motion picture Monty Python and the Holy Grail, based on the popular screenplay. It is playing until July 27th at the Center in Vancouver for Performing Arts at 777 Homer Street. Now moving right along, coming up next on Laugh Tracks is an easy crowd pleaser. That is episode one of the fourth part of Star Wars, as produced by National Public Radio in 1981 with Mark Hamill as the lead Luke Skywalker. Since this adaptation of the movie is executed in 13 episodes, racking up a good 6.5 hours, the context of the story runs far deeper, giving every important character an extended introduction, having them meet a few episodes into the story. Episode 1 prominently features the character Biggs Darklighter, who inspires Luke to join the Rebel Alliance. He was almost entirely cut from the movie originally, save for the last act, due to a flooding disaster that happened during filming and destroyed the film beyond repair, though you can see most of it on YouTube. You'd think that in this day and age of DVD special features you'd get to see what's left of it, but as it happens, the only place you're probably going to hear it is here on Laugh Tracks on 101.9 FM CITR. This is Star Wars Points of Origin.
Make it come true. You can find a career in space. Yeah, exploration, Starfleet, or merchant service. Choose from navigation, engineering, space medicine, contact liaison, and more. If you have the right stuff to take on the universe and standardized examination scores that meet requirements, dispatch your application to
Screening Office, care of the Commandant, Imperial Space Academy, your sector, and join the ranks of the proud.
Dum, 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 dum. Oh, I love it.
Skywalker.
What?
Hey, Luke. Skywalker.
Oh, I'm out here in the tech dome, Windy.
Hey, Skywalker, come on. Everyone's over at the power station. We're going out to Beggar's Canyon. My hopper's acting up. Something's wrong with her thrust bias, so I'm going to ride with you.
Sure. How'd you get here?
My folks came over in the land speeder to see your uncle and aunt, and I hitched a ride.
Oh.
What are you acting so guilty about?
Huh? Oh, nothing.
Uh-huh. Come on, let's see that tape, Skywalker.
Will you come on?
Give me that.
Come on,
cut it out, Windy. Aha! Applicant's information packet. Imperial Space Academy.
Will you stop?
You're still seeing Novas, huh, Luke? Looks like this tape's been played a few thousand times.
Give it back.
The great Luke Skywalker, hero of the universe. When are you going to grow up, Luke? You're a farm boy, just like me.
Hand it over, Windy, or I'll take it.
Oh, okay, here. Take it. What are you getting so touchy about? Come on, get your skyhopper going. I'll roll back the dome.
Why'd your folks come over, anyway?
Oh, to talk about the moisture harvest, complain about crop prices. Who cares? I guess it's a mercy visit, you know?
Yeah, Aunt Beru's always eager for company. Even Uncle Owen is. But he'd never admit it. Well, get in, Windy. Time's wasting. I don't expect to have another whole free day till the moisture harvest is in.
She sounds smooth, Luke.
Yeah, I worked on her all day yesterday.
Well, listen, if you're planning on doing any racing, you can count me out, Skywalker. Tatooine is no academy, and you're no star pilot.
Not yet, anyway. Well, I adjusted the thrust sequence for extra boost. You better hang on to your seat.
Fixer!
What?
Skywalker's here.
So what? Don't bother me with small fry. Where's the juice? I'm thirsty.
Here, catch one.
Hey, everybody.
Where's the party?
Wherever I am, Luke. Right, Cammy?
Correct, lover.
Hey, boys. Guess what Skywalker was doing?
Hey.
Sitting in the tech dome playing an academy recruitment tape.
What?
You never change, Skywalker. Is that all you want out of life, to parade around in a fancy uniform?
So what do you want that's so much better, Fixer?
Yeah, you watch it, boy. Just because you got lucky on a couple of crummy tests, that doesn't make you some kind of junior space explorer.
I never said I was any better.
You know what
than...
I did back when they made me take those exams?
What?
I walked in, filled out my name, and walked out again. I showed him.
Yeah, just because he can answer fancy trick questions and do schoolbook flight maneuvers, he thinks it makes him better than us.
Yeah, Luke. So you happen to qualify. So what? What do you think you are, Biggs or something?
Yeah, he just wants to go to the academy because Biggs did. He always was his hero.
Yeah, I'd like to go to the academy. Why shouldn't I?
Because it's for suckers, Skywalker. They want to stick you into a uniform and give you orders. At least here at the power station, I'm my own boss.
Anyway, my father says the Empire's just recruiting more people into the academies so they can draft them into the Starfleet.
Do you think anybody out there cares about Luke Skywalker?
Well, if you leave home, nobody knows you.
Hey, where is the juice?
Oh, here it is.
So, what's on the program for today, Fixer?
Speed runs, Skywalker. Speed runs.
Oh?
Gonna see how much time I can shave off the back stretch.
There's no way you can cut much more time off your lap, Fix. Hmm? You're almost matching Biggs' best time around Beggar's Canyon as it is.
Yeah, well, Biggs isn't here, and I am. I'm as good as he ever was.
Oh, yeah, well, then why don't you thread the stone needle like Biggs did?
Luke.
That ought to take 5 seconds or better off your time.
And Biggs is the only one who ever flew through it at racing speed. Is that what you're saying?
I was just saying that if you want to improve your score,
you're gonna crazy, Luke. Why don't you guys go buzz the Womp Rats and take a few pot shots at him? The speed run stuff is gonna get somebody killed.
Hey, what's the matter, Cammy? You don't think I can do it?
No.
Listen, anything the great Biggs Darklighter could do, I can do.
I never said you couldn't, Fixer.
Yeah, nobody was knocking you, Fixer.
And besides, I don't need any shortcuts. Hey. You want to try and keep up with me?
Oh, Fixer.
Huh?
What, me?
What are you scared, Wormy?
Yeah. All right.
Oh,
you're on.
Crazy.
Ooh, boy, Wormy against the Fixer. Oh, that's going to be a slaughter.
Well, then you can ride with Fixer, Deke. What are we waiting for, boys? Let's go.
Fixer. Come back here, Fixer. I want this to stop right now.
Good luck, Skywalker. See you in the tight spot.
Hey, I couldn't find those macro binoculars anywhere.
Never mind, Windy. Buckle up.
Hey, what are you doing? Standing in for Biggs. Brace yourself.
Here we go. One run down the backstretch, Skywalker, whenever you're ready.
Hey, wait a minute. You and Fixer in the bottleneck together? Count me out.
Well, jump.
Fall in even wait. With me, Skywalker, and we'll let her rip.
Yeah.
Okay, hit it!
Oh. Look out! Will you shut up and keep... Oh, no, you distracted me, Windy. Now Fixer's got the lead.
You let him keep it. I want to live.
How does my after blast feel, Luke?
Too narrow to get past him.
Whatever you do, don't go for altitude. Don't go for altitude. The crosswinds will smash us right into the canyon wall.
Just make yourself comfortable back there, far boy. It'll all be over.
Yeah, that's what you think. Hey, you idiot, you took the wrong turn. You're headed for the stone needle. Yeah, I bet we shaved 5 seconds off our time. You're gonna kill us both. There's no going back now. Stay gripped, Windy. We made it. Windy, open your eyes. We made it.
I'm alive. I don't believe it.
Hey, Your stabilizer's gone!
Huh? Oh, I can hold her. We've still got to cross that finish line.
You'll crash us!
Here we go. I told you I could bring her in.
Hey, Wendy, we won! We won!
Won? Luke, you're crazy.
Crazy! I'm riding home with one of the others. You're just an accident looking for a place to happen.
Oh, Biggs, you should have been here.
Luke, are you up yet? Breakfast is ready.
Morning, Aunt Peru.
Good morning, dear. I'm afraid your uncle's in a big hurry today. He says things are still behind schedule. Come on now, eat your breakfast before it gets cold.
Okay. But I don't think the desert's going anywhere.
No, it'll still be there, Luke. If we don't get things ready for the season in time, that's all it'll be, a desert. I want some hard work today.
Yes, sir.
Keep an eye peeled when you're out. There are reports of sand people. I want you to see what you can do with the units up on the South Ridge. I expect them all to be running 100% and smooth before the day's end.
But Uncle Owen, those evaporators are 10 years old. They should have been replaced a long time ago.
Well, you can get them functioning up to specs if you roll up your sleeves and quit your daydreaming. Look, I need a farmhand who'll pitch in, not a nephew with his head in the stars half the time. You pull your weight today or there'll be trouble.
Owen! Come on, finish what's left before it gets cold, both of you. Luke, dear, I put your lunch in the land speeder so you wouldn't forget it.
Thanks, Aunt Peru. Well, I guess I better get going.
Take the treadwell with you.
Treadwell? But that old droid's in worse shape than the evaporators, Uncle Owen. What about getting some new droids?
Oh, just what I need. Another expense.
But with another droid or two, we could keep the whole farm at peak efficiency right through the harvest. Look, I can check around Toshi Station and Anchorhead, and there'll probably be a Jawa sandcrawler passing through any time now. Maybe they'd have something we could use.
Luke, give over your daydreaming and do your share, and we won't need any droids. I never let you want for anything, have I? Huh? Mm-hmm. Well, then, young fella, least you can do is show some gratitude.
Oh, Lars! Oh, and we could use a little more help. A droid that spoke domestic bocce could help me round the house, too, when you didn't need it.
Oh, well.
Luke, goodbye, dear.
Goodbye, Emperor. I'll do my best with those evaporators, Uncle Owen.
Honestly, Owen, I don't know what gets into you at times. Luke's never asked us for a thing. He works as hard as any farmhand. He could have gone off on his own long ago, and you know that.
Peru, with his mind wandering half the time, he's never gonna make his way in life.
But you can't begrudge him his dreams. A person has to have their dreams. I've never once complained about living out here or hardly ever seeing other people or going without when the moisture harvest was bad, have I?
Now, see here, Mrs. I never said to you...
Owen, even to the young people over at Anchorhead, Luke is an outsider. He hasn't had a close friend since Biggs went to the academy.
I don't want him coming to harm, Baru. I want what's best for him.
I know that, Owen. But it wouldn't hurt to tell him so.
Well, I'll be most of the day on those condensers in the upper basin. Won't be home till evening, I expect.
I'll have supper waiting, Owen.
Hey, Treadwell. Come hold this junction plate in place while I torque it down, will you? That's it. That ought to do it. Now, let's give this old relic a try. Nothing. Boy, how does Uncle Owen expect me to keep these junk heaps running? Here, Treadwell, clamp these two leads together while I splice them. No, you idiot. Will you use your insulated arm? Release! Back off! What I wouldn't give to be on another planet. Any planet. Uncle Owen's not gonna like this a bit. Now I've got two major overhauls on my hands. Treadwell, get over to the land speeder. If we don't get those new droids now, we'll be in real trouble for the moisture harvest. Well, the sky is still clear anyway. At least there's no sandstorms blowing up. Maybe we can have things ready, but... Hey, what's that up there? What? I know you don't know, you maniac. Where are my macro binoculars? What? I know I left them in there someplace. Ah, here they are. Now, let's see. Yeah. There's two ships out there, all right. Two of them at least. And they're firing on each other. It's incredible. Boy, they're really going at it out there. Come on, Treadwell. Get yourself over to the land speeder. I've got to get into Anchorhead and tell Fixer about this. Well, get it in gear, will ya? Okay, stay put then. I'll pick you up on the way home.
Cammy, did I just hear a young noise blast in here?
Come on, Wendy's got a shot to make and there's money riding
on. Yeah.
Come on, shape it up, you guys. Wait till you hear what
We got company, Luke.
What? Biggs! Hey. When did you get back from the academy?
So the two shooting stars are reunited at last. I'm so thrilled to be here for them.
I just got in on the shuttle. I wanted to surprise you, Luke. You know, I thought you'd be here when I arrived. I forgot you have the harvest coming up.
Hey, but how come you're back so soon? Didn't you get your commission?
Sure. Hey, I got it. The academy accelerated our courses. It seems the Empire wants the commercial space lines expanded as soon as possible.
You ought to drop the Emperor thank you note, Biggs. That's the only way you could have gotten out of that academy.
Yeah. Signed on with the starship Rand Ecliptic.
Wow.
Third mate Biggs Darklighter at your service. Hey, how's this for a snappy salute?
Well, I hope you fly a ship better than you salute.
Oh, Luke, what do you know? I think Biggs looks just fabulous in his uniform.
Yeah. Biggs just had to come back and say goodbye to all us planet-bound simpletons.
Hey, wait a minute, I almost forgot. Drop the game and come outside quick. You guys have got to see something. There's a battle going on beyond the atmosphere.
When are you
going
to stop seeing things and grow up, Skywalker? Uh-huh. Space battles, what a jerk.
Biggs, I didn't just imagine this one.
Well, if you say so, Luke. Hey, Deke, turn off that game.
We'll
still be here when we get back.
Here we go again.
Captain Skywalker has sighted the enemy again, sir.
And is advancing to the rear.
Right. Come on, you guys. Right
outside. Let's see. Yep, they're still there. I counted two earlier. Here, Biggs, you take the macro. See for yourself.
Well, will do.
What do you think, Biggs?
I'm afraid that... Yeah, that's no battle up there, Luke.
What?
Here, Cammy. Yeah, it's probably just a tanker fueling a freighter.
No, it's the Rebellion, right, Luke? All the way out here on the backside of nowhere.
But there was a lot of firing before. I swear there was. I saw it.
Well, then why would they still be holding position over Tatooine?
Oh, Luke, they're not doing a thing up there. Firing my foot. Here, take these things back.
Hey, Cammy, be careful with those.
Don't worry about it, Luke.
These cost me a half season savings.
She told you not to worry about it, Wormy.
Hey, Fixer, the show is over. Haven't you got work to do?
Come on, Cammy.
What? Are you just gonna let
him... I said come on. So long, guys.
Now, they're right about one thing, Luke. The rebellion against the Empire is a long way from here. You know, I doubt the Imperials would bother with this system.
But I could have sworn I saw
Hey, come on, I tell you what. Let's take a spin in that land speeder of yours, huh? I'd like to take one last look at Beggar's Canyon, you know, for old time's sake.
Sure, Biggs. Boy, you should have been there the other day when we ran the canyon.
Yeah?
Old Fixer started bragging about how he could do anything that Biggs could do, you know.
So I said, hey, you're so smart, why don't you...
Yeah, and Fixer just pretended it never happened. Of course, my skyhoppers busted up pretty bad.
Oh, I'm sure that made your uncle happy.
Ooh, you have no idea. I'm grounded for the rest of the season.
Nah, you ought to take it a little easier, Luke. Nah. I mean, even if you are the hottest gully jumper this side of Mos Eisley, you keep it up, buddy, and one day, whammo, you'll be nothing but a dark smear on a canyon wall.
Hey, why'd you want me to come out to Beggar's Canyon anyway?
Like I said, old time's sake. I mean, who knows when I'll be back this way, right?
Huh? I guess. Well, there it is. The old stone needle.
Wow.
You know, you can see practically the whole canyon from this part of the rim.
Yeah. God, I don't know how I lived through all the crazy stunts we pulled down here.
Remember some of those? Boy, we had the hopper now. We could give those womp rats a surprise.
Oh, sorry. No, I am now valuable property. Keeping in mind the expense of cadet training, all graduates shall refrain from unnecessary risk-taking.
You? Do they happen to know how many stabilizer veins you've been up on the back stretch down there? Or how about the time you almost wiped out the stone needle?
I figured it was better not to mention those to my piloting instructors.
Boy, it hasn't been the same since you left, Biggs. It's been so quiet.
I'll bet.
Yeah, you were always number one around here, Biggs. You were the one who made things happen.
Well, it's a big galaxy, Luke. At the Academy, everybody was number one back where they came from. All of a sudden, I was just a face in the crowd.
Yeah, but you made it, Biggs. You're gonna see all those places we used to talk about.
Yep. Luke, did you ever wonder why we're friends?
Huh?
The rest of them, back at Anchorhead. They'll never leave Tatooine. Maybe never get as far as Mos Eisley. Have you ever thought about that?
Well, not exactly like that, I haven't.
Fixer's just smart enough to know he's better off being a big noise in a small room. Cammy's dumb enough to think she's made the prize catch hereabouts, and Windy's nothing but a follower, and Deke's the follower of a follower.
But what are you saying, Biggs?
You will make it off Tatooine, Luke. And they know it. That's why they won't accept you.
Huh. Well, they're not so bad. I don't really mind them.
Then how come you work so hard at being the hottest pilot around, huh?
Well,
hey, did you see that? Off on the far side of the canyon.
Where? Sand people.
You got your macros?
Yeah, right here.
Yep. Three Banthas and... It looks like five Tusken Raiders.
Yeah?
Yeah, they're moving out towards the wastes.
Hey, I'm supposed to keep a watch out for them at the farm. My uncle said there'd been some sightings around here.
No.
I should get back.
Hey, I don't think it's anything to worry about.
Well, that's a little excitement for your visit.
You only think this planet's boring because you've never been anywhere else, Luke. Luke, I didn't come home just for a visit. If I don't come back... I wanted somebody to know.
What? Well, know what? Honestly, Biggs, will you stop being so secretive?
Luke, I made some friends at the Academy.
Yeah?
And one of them will be on the Rand Ecliptic with me. At our first port of call in the inner systems, we're going to jump ship and join the Rebel Alliance.
But that's crazy. You could wander around forever trying to find them. Look, the Empire can't even find
them. Well, if we don't find the Rebels, then we're gonna do what we can on our own. I'm not hanging around to get drafted into the Imperial Starfleet. The Rebellion's spreading, Luke, and I want to be on the side I believe in.
Yeah, and I'm stuck here.
But I thought you were going to the Academy next year.
I had to cancel my application. You know, the sand people acting up again.
Come on, Luke! Your uncle could hold off a whole Tusken raiding party with one blaster. One of these days, buddy, you've got to separate what seems important from what is.
But the farm's just about to start paying off. Look, Uncle Owen needs me for one more season. Biggs, I can't just run out on him and Aunt Beru now.
Uncle Owen, Aunt Beru, first it's sand people, now it's the crop. Meanwhile, your application's been canceled, Luke. Canceled. Luke, listen to me. Your uncle uses that I fed you and brought you up line to keep you here. Can't you see that?
Biggs, my aunt and uncle are the only family I've got. They're all I've got. I don't care what you or anybody else thinks about me. I can't let anything happen to those
Luke,
two.
Luke, I didn't mean to.
I'll go on. Find your rebellion. You don't think I'd like to leave? You think I like staying behind?
No, I never thought that, Luke.
Well, that's how it sounded. Here, I'll let you off by the power station.
Thanks for the ride, Luke.
Yeah, sure.
Luke, I had a friend at the Academy. He helped me through the way I used to help you. Just before graduation, I heard he got picked up during a roundup of rebel suspects. And they said he died in interrogation.
You've changed, Biggs. You've changed a lot.
I have been doing some thinking, Luke. But, you're the same as ever. Hey, tell me, are you still keeping a lookout for that dream girl you used to talk about?
Well, I don't know her if she passes by. Biggs, I'm sorry about what I said back there.
Yeah, me too. Hey, just let's forget it.
Yeah. Will you be around long?
No, I'm leaving on the morning shuttle.
Looks like there's a wind kicking up.
Wind's rising all over the Empire, Luke. Even Tatooine will feel it sooner or later.
I guess I won't be seeing you for a while.
Oh, maybe someday. I'll be watching for you.
Listen, next season, I'm going to be going to the Academy for sure. No, I am. Take care of yourself.
So long, Luke.
Biggs.
Yeah?
Do you really think those ships out there were just freighters?
Well, not if you say they were firing, Hotshot.
That has been episode one of Star Wars, entitled Points of Origin, here on the show that is Laugh Tracks, on the station that is 101.9 FM CITR, an epic audible endeavor that the whole cast enjoyed, especially Anthony Daniels, alias C-3PO.
I actually feel it's one of the most creative mediums there is, because it works in the mind. The problem with film is that it's very much what the director and the cameraman have chosen for you to see. If they want you to look at a close-up of somebody's thumbnail covering 70 feet of screen, you have no choice but to look at that. In radio, you can sit there and you can make the scenery how you want it. You can develop the visual side completely inside your head. And therefore, it's stimulating. Therefore, the amount of enjoyment you get is reciprocal to the amount of effort you've put into it, and you have to put a lot of effort if you're listening. And that's why the plays are enjoyable.
Coming up now and finally, part 3 of 3 of Catherine O'Grady's radio drama trilogy that I'm sure got her an A+ from the faculty at Concordia University. This is the dramatic conclusion to The Watcher on 101.9 FM CITR.
Welcome back to the third segment of a four-part series entitled O.R.M. Older Retired Men. Did you get the memo?
What memo?
The producers have decided to alter the title of the radio play. For liability purposes, it's now called The Watcher.
Oh, well then, it was nice to be informed of that decision. Cue the music. Welcome back again to the third segment of a four-part series entitled The Watcher.
Sorry to bother you again.
What is it now?
We looked over our budget and only have enough money to make one more segment. So, theoretically, this will be the third and last part of the show.
Honestly, is there anything else I need to know before I proceed? Shall we? Welcome back once again to the third and last segment of a three-part series entitled The Watcher. In this episode, Catherine and Jen are trying to mobilize the fridge onto the dolly with the hopes of finally securing it into the apartment. Will their efforts provide them with the seed of success? or will their differences lead them to their own demise? Listen and find out. Okay, let's get this contraption on the dolly.
Sounds good, Kat. Where's the dolly?
You're the one who said...
Check. When I asked you about the checklist, so where is it, Jen?
What the hell do you have in this thing? I think I can find everything except the dolly. Wait, here it is.
Shh. What are you trying to do, wake Mrs. Pickard, huh? Don't you know she's a light sleeper?
I'm not trying to wake Miss Pickard. Wait a second. Who's Miss Pickard?
The neighbor that lives across the street. She's always around, you know, and sometimes she yells at the dogs in the park because they make too much noise. Well, anyway, she finally ended up complaining to City about that whole thing. Overheard it from a conversation that I had with myself while I was eavesdropping on them.
I live down the street with a nutcase.
Sometimes
who are you talking about?
Shh.
No, you.
Baby.
Don't provoke me.
Baby.
You know I hate it
baby.
When I said not
baby,
to provoke
baby,
me.
Baby,
Kat,
baby,
I'm
baby,
serious.
Baby,
Kat.
Okay, fine. Now, do you have the dolly yet?
No, but
baby.
I think. What did you say?
Nothing. Baby.
You spoiled little brat. You asked
what?
For it.
What did I ask for, huh? There's nothing you could possibly do to make me mad. I'm in a perfect mood. And besides, excuse me, Jen. Hey, yeah. Jen, what are you doing with that Kleenex? Why are you dipping it in that puddle? You know, that's really gross and probably unhygienic. Don't you know my phobia of wet Kleenex? I told you, haven't I? Ew! I just can't stand the feeling of it on your skin.
Oh, really?
Gooey and tearing apart. You know, my sister once wanted to play doctor with me and she locked me in the bathroom.
Oh, really?
So she could put a cast, which was wet toilet paper, all over my arm. Ew! Even the thought of it gives me shivers down my spine. Stop being such a disgusting little baby!
Earth to Catherine. Hello. Okay. Calm down. Breathe.
What are you trying to do? Kill me?
Calm down, Cat. It was just a joke. Come on. Calm down. Relax.
Fine. Still
okay, I'm sorry about the Kleenex. I promise never to do it again. Shake on it?
Okay. Oh, Jen, is your hand okay? It's really sweaty. You know, is that a condition? You really should get that checked out. I was reading on the internet the other day about this condition. I think you have it. You know, it's called a chronic rheumatoid arthritis. What the hell? You little monster! You're possibly the grossest person on the face of this planet! That's it. Let's get this thing over with so I can be rid of
it. Oh, you're so dramatic. Well, you learned your lesson, didn't you?
Don't mess with the best, man. Don't mess with the best. Pampers. Don't mess with Pampers.
I hate that word. The very syllables give me shivers down my spine.
Pampers, Pampers, Pampers,
please stop.
Pampers.
Can't hear you. Okay, I'm sorry. Jeez, can't you even take a joke? You always have to get the last word. Let's go.
Okay, but I might need some, Pampers.
All right, do you want me to help you or not? Because it's really looking like you don't. I'm going to count to five. One, two, three, four,
Okay, fine. Truce. Serious.
Even?
Uh-huh.
Okay, now what was I doing? Oh, the dolly, right. Okay, now all we have to do is get the fridge on the dolly and roll it onto the ground. Jeez, where did your aunt get this thing? The Kelvinator? Sounds like a name straight out of the 50s. Are you sure this thing works?
Let's get this thing on the dolly, then we can make fun of it all we want.
Okay, here. You pull and I'll push. Ready? Okay.
Good. Yeah, a little more pushing. A little more. Yeah, just a little bit more.
are you doing on your end?
Okay, please stop.
Here, I'll come help you put it on the dolly.
Be quiet.
Shh.
You'll wake Mr. Norton's dog.
What dog? Oh, let's just get this over with. All right, now all we have to do is push this a little more, and then it'll be on the dolly, okay? On the count of three. One, two, three.
Jen, no.
What?
Stop,
what's wrong?
Stop.
I gotta go pee.
Oh, can't you wait till we get in the apartment?
No, really, I can't. Cover me.
What?
I said, cover me. I need backup.
What do you mean backup? Are we in the military or something?
I'm gonna go in the bushes. It'll only take
Don't
a minute.
Leave me alone here with the fridge.
I'll be 2 seconds, I promise.
Going in. Requesting backup. Roger that.
What are you talking about?
I see bushes in the horizon.
I'm still here. Didn't you tell me you had to go pee?
Yeah, right. Okay.
For God's sake, Kat, I don't want to hear it through the walkie-talkie.
I think this plant needs some serious watering. Honestly, look at
this. Catherine, turn the walkie-talkie off and focus on what you're doing.
All right, sorry. Call if there's any
help. Okay, I will.
Over and out.
Catherine, are you almost done? Catherine, hurry. Get out of there. Someone is coming.
Huh? I can't hear you. Who's... running? Hey, Jen, who's... who's running? Who's running? What the hell's going on out there, Jen? Jen!
Oh, excuse me, miss. Are you alone?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you telling me the truth?
Of course.
Jen, man. All I'm trying to do is take a leak in the fresh air, and already you're calling me?
I need you to tell me the truth, because it sounds like, there's someone else, involved in this little operation.
You
know what I mean.
There's nothing to wipe with. I'll just use a leaf. I am outside after all. Wow. Isn't this exciting? We're even breaking the law. This is awesome. I'm gonna get 10 feet. I'll be right out.
Totally alone. Yep.
Yeah. Can I please ask you to accompany me in my vehicle over here on your right?
Okay, officer. 10-4.
What will happen to Catherine and Jen in the police car? Will we ever get the funding to know more? Tune in next week. Well, I suppose it's a mystery that will never be solved.
And will CITR ever do another show swap? All signs point to maybe. Laugh Tracks returns with its real DJ this time next week, but stay tuned to the station all week to hear more offbeat DJs outside their comfort zone. For instance, coming up next, Reel to Reel on 101.9 FM CITR. This is Jonathan Brown saying, good day, Vancouver.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Reel to Reel at the Movies.